Most people's jobs come with some sort of perk, like maybe occasional free lunch or a happy hour or parking space. My job comes with two beings that get to live in my head with me. They are charismatic garbage-eating machines named Trash Wheels. Thank you. I've been running social media for the Trash Wheels for 4 years. It's turned me into a secret Baltimore celebrity. It's a little bit like being Clark Kent at a Superman convention. And I always get really nervous when I meet fans because I feel like I won't live up to this creation. I feel like they expect me to barge in like the Kool-Aid man, like kind of gregarious and spunky, always with the right joke, you know, the right witty pun, and that's not me. As you heard in my introduction, I'm very nerdy, I'm very awkward. Fan interactions usually start fine, and then I get nervous and I say a small social faux pas, which in my head I turn into a calamity, and then I just want to go into a cave like Golem and live there for the rest of eternity. And that doesn't do well when you're meeting people. I have the common millennial problem of I'm much better online connecting with people than I am in person. I didn't have a lot of friends growing up. A lot of my social experiences was doing role-playing forms. And I would create these characters that would be this sort of charismatic, clever, funny, beautiful, all these things that I thought I was lacking, the reasons why I thought I wasn't making friends. And I made more friends as Cassandra, the Harry Potter character who could shapeshift and was surprisingly wise, or Sam, the saucy pirate who also could control the ocean with her mind, than I did as Robin, the middle schooler who once threw a Halloween party that no one showed up to. But work that I did, or this kind of play I did as a kid, actually led me to a career of helping other people build communities online. I now work with nonprofits, helping them figure out how to be engaging and clever and make new connections online, which led me to being in a creative agency when my boss walked in and said, "Robin, you're weird, and sometimes you're funny. Would you like to do a Twitter account for a Trash Wheel?" And of course I said yes. Why would I not jump at that chance? I was a little afraid. The first two Trash Wheels were fired, and I thought it was a cursed account. But I quickly grew to love it because I could do all these nerdy things, but do it to a wider audience that liked it. So when I cracked a Planet of the Apes joke, or made commentary on Game of Thrones, or Photoshopped Mr. Trash Wheel into my Star Trek scene, all of a sudden it got hundreds and hundreds of likes. And even more than that, I started channeling even sad things into the Trash Wheel. So when I felt hungover and miserable, I'd be like, channel all of that into how Mr. Trash Wheel might feel if he ate 1,000 cigarette butts. Or, I remember the day David Bowie died, and the first thing I wanted to do was just channel all of that into a really nice, memorable post. And so I became connected in this way with this machine. And I didn't realize it until the company I was working for closed, and I had to compete competitively for an RFP. And so I pulled out the stops. Whatever weird ideas I wanted to do, like I wanted to get this Trash Wheel account again. So I did a choose-your-own-adventure where I'd basically do fan-directed fan fiction, and I'd, you know, create all these creative posts. And I remember waiting the day that I was supposed to find out if I could continue on the Trash Wheel. I was lying on the floor just like this, paralyzed, afraid to look at my email. And I realized the Trash Wheel had so become a part of me. And that's the first time the Trash Wheel spoke on his own, and he whispered, "You're weird is wonderful. You'll get it." And I did. And it was such a great moment for me. And the Trash Wheels have been such a big part. For instance, when I go to pick up a straw, I hear this like, like if you're a mom and you walk into your living room and somebody's done a Jackson Pollock number with crayons, you know, on the wall, that kind of like disappointment that's like, hey, that straw matters. That straw could end up in my gullet. Think about it, Robin. Come on. And that kind of having that is Trashfield does a brilliant job of helping me see something that society teaches us should be invisible, which is trash. The truth is that straw will outlive me, will tell the story of my environmental impact probably longer than any written word of my deeds. And chronically, all the time, society tells you that trash is ugly, put it in a nice receptacle, and forget about it. And being with the trash wheel was like these googly eyes that got over me, that was allowed me to see those things. It also allowed me to realize that these things in my personality that I was hiding were also wonderful. When I look back at the trash wheel tweets that are most successful, they're not my dank memes or my witty comments or all of those things that I'm really prideful. It's those moments of reality, those moments where Mr. Trash Wheel is dealing with the fact that he's a gross garbage human, or garbage eater, sorry. See, that singularity happens. This gross garbage eater that lives at a river that has human feces in it. So there's moments of reality where he says, I'm gross and I eat garbage and come with me down this rabbit hole, that really engage people. I got 200 people to jump into a dumpster on a Saturday because they were really into engaging, because I think they all had a trashy bit of themselves that they saw in this trash wheel. And in fact, it's that weirdness that works. We once tried to do a volunteer campaign where we asked people on Tuesdays to go pick up trash. And like a dozen people did it, not many. And then we did the exact same campaign, but we told them they could join a cult if they did it. And like thousands of people did it. Thousands of people wanted to join a secret society dedicated to cleaning the ocean for this machine with googly eyes. And it was at that ceremony, I created this induction ceremony. I kind of reached back into what I remembered from growing up Catholic and all the kind of weird rituals that go along with that. And I created like a secret handshake. We drank fake harbor water. We had secret words. And I'm standing up there in this trash hat I've made, which is made out of beer cans that I've wired together and spray painted and put googly eyes on. It stands about this big. And I'm standing in this cape that my grandmother made for me to go to Ren Fair. It's a beautiful cape. And I was always too embarrassed to wear it. And here I am in this cape on a hill with 200 people here to see this weird ritual I've concocted. And it starts raining, and nobody moves. People put on raincoats, but they stay because they're in it. They're in for whatever weirdness is about to come. And it's what I realized was like real power of my fans. It also made me realize why I love working with the trash wheel, because it teaches me how to be a better human. And it's weird to say a chunk of metal taught me that, but it did. I really want to see the trash wheels replicate, and I, of course, mean that physically, trash wheel in every port, yada, yada, but also in like a metaphysical way. Like, I hope that our fans also have this small trash wheel in the back of their minds. And that trash wheel, of course, is telling you, like, really bring a reusable bag, keep it in your car, or you can say no to that straw. But it's also telling you, when you lie in bed at night and you think about that awkward thing you said to a coworker at 8 a.m. today and how you probably can never speak to them again, I hope that trash wheel is there whispering to you in the night, your weird is wonderful too. Thank you.